Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you from the Rocky Mountain town of Crested Butte, Colorado. I'm your host, Mark Troutman, CFP. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Hey, everyone. Well, I'm getting ready to go on another trip. Last year, I traveled approximately 105 days out of the year. So I like to travel a lot. And I use credit card points to pay for a lot of this travel. So given that I have an upcoming trip, I thought I would kind of walk through how I paid for part of this trip with credit card points and rewards. We've talked about tracking your expenses and so forth, and I want to caution everyone, the only way this really works is if you pay off your credit cards in full every month. Otherwise, disregard this entire episode. In order to make rewards points work on credit cards, you need to pay off the balances in full because any interest you pay on balances retained from month to month offset any benefit you will get from points accumulated by charging on your credit card. So that is the first and foremost caveat that I would like to say to start this episode. I pay my cards off in full every month. So effectively, I use my credit cards like you would a debit card. I also have set up for every single card automatic payment in full on the due date. So it will automatically be paid from my checking account on the day due. So I won't miss any payments and I will not get charged any interest because as long as you pay your card off in full, by the due date, you will not be charged interest provided you had no balance going into that month. So I'm always coming into a new month with a zero balance. I'm tracking everything I spend on the card, and I have them paid off in full every month. So that's the way that you can utilize rewards from credit cards to your benefit. Like I said, if you carry any balance and pay interest, it offsets any benefit you will get from rewards on your credit card. With that caveat mentioned, I would also like to say it enables me to keep track of everything I spend because what I do is I actually have a spreadsheet where I track all of the spending on the cards because I have more than one card. And I can also, if I want, create reports from those credit cards and generate reports that show the category of spending. And then I could drop that into another spreadsheet if I wanted to track all of the expenses. I actually also input all of this information into Quicken. I've just been doing that for decades and I continue to do it. I actually manually enter everything because I feel like it gives me more ownership of the charge. When you charge it at the store, you don't feel it as much because it's, oh, it's just a swipe, no big deal. But when I have to go home and enter that into Quicken, that's when I actually feel the pain of the purchase, I guess you would say. And I also have a spreadsheet where I track all of the expenses by card per month. And then they total them up so I know exactly where I am for the month. And I'm also in that spreadsheet tracking the date that the card was opened because, for instance, when we get into the cards, you will see that Chase has a rule that you can only open 5 cards in a 24-month period on a personal basis. So you have to be careful about opening too many cards and being declined. And then I also track any annual fees. I track any bonus awards that you get because most, if not all, cards give you some type of bonus when you open a card. I also track the number of points I'm receiving in each card each month, whether it's points or cash for cashback cards. So I am just going to detail the cards that I use and how I use them. There are many other cards out there beyond the ones that I use. that may benefit you. Choose FI has a very good site called Travel Rewards 101 that will walk you through kind of how to use reward cards. And then there's another website, The Points Guy, who goes through a lot of benefits of different cards and so forth. But I'm just going to talk about the ones that I use and how I've used them on this current trip that I have coming up. Most people would argue, especially in the FI community, that there are three main point collector groups, I guess you would say. There's Chase, there's Capital One, and there's American Express. Chase is one of the most popular. It has some very good travel partners. In other words, you earn points on the Chase platform, and then you can transfer them to other partners, and that's what I do. Capital One, you generate points on their platform, and American Express, the same thing. And all of them have different travel partners that you can transfer points to, or different ways you can use points within their own portals. So for me, my main card is the Chase Sapphire Reserve. There is a $550 annual fee, which sounds very high, but you get a $300 travel credit every year. So as long as you charge some travel-related item up to $300, they will basically just credit your card back. I always do that. I have no issue meeting that. So my net annual fee is $250. There are multiple categories where you will get more than 1 point per dollar charged. So what I'm trying to do with my cards is optimize cards. So I am using various cards for the highest points that I can receive for that particular charge. So my Chase Sapphire Reserve pays 3 times points for travel and dining. And I'm going to skip dining on this card because I have a different card that I've recently gotten that I will use for dining instead that give me more points. So for my Chase Sapphire Reserve, I use it primarily for travel and get 3 times points. With that card, I also get Priority Pass lounge access for myself and up to 2 guests. And there's a system out there called Priority Pass where there's multiple lounges around the world that are part of that program. And you can access those lounges. Many of them are international. There are some domestic ones, but it does tend to have more lounges in international airports and then in U.S. international airports as well. So that's a benefit. There's also things like if you rent a car, it's your primary insurance on the car rentals. So that's beneficial as well. Now, the key with any of these cards is there typically is a bonus that you can receive when you get the card, and then it does require you to spend a certain amount of money in a period of time in order to earn those points. And then any charges you make on the card, they're going to earn points as well under whatever the rules are for that card. For example, on the Chase Sapphire Reserve currently, and these change occasionally, so you have to look at what the current deal is. But right now, this is pretty standard, 60,000 points, but you need to spend $4,000 in 3 months. So that can be a high hurdle for some people. But for me, I am charging literally everything, all of my expenses. So that is something that I can meet when I first got the card. The partners that I found most beneficial in the Chase system, Chase Ultimate Rewards, for me personally, are Hyatt, Southwest, and United. So I can transfer points from my Chase Sapphire Reserve, my Chase Ultimate Rewards points, over to my membership account at Hyatt, at Southwest, or United. But I keep them at Chase until I actually need them. And this is the case with this current trip, and I'll talk about that when we get to that. So just keep that in mind. The other card I do have is the Capital One Venture X card. That has a $395 annual fee. It also gives you a $300 travel credit per year. However, you must book the travel through their portal in order to receive that credit. I did this on the most recent trip, so I will save that until we get to the actual trip. So for me, I view it as a net $95 annual card. Now, what's interesting about the Capital One, for me in particular, and anyone who lives in my area is that Capital One has started creating their own lounges. They are very, very nice, high-end lounges. And there is one in the airport that I almost inevitably am traveling out of, and that is Denver. They have just created this lounge. It is really nice. So to me, the $95 annual fee net of the travel credit is worth that lounge access alone. Even if it didn't have any other benefits, I would get this card for myself for that reason. The other two lounges that they currently have, one is in Dallas-Fort Worth, which I've been to, which is very, very nice. And the other one is Washington Dulles. And I believe they are going to be adding more over time. But those are the three they have right now. This card earns you 2x points on anything charged. So this is my default card if I'm not getting more than 2x points for anything I charge. It also gives you the Hertz President Circle status. I've used this. It's very nice. One of their higher end statuses at Hertz. So it gives you upgrades and you get to just walk right to the car and things like that. I've only used it once, but it was nice to have. This card also gives you that same Priority Pass lounge access. So you could potentially skip the Chase Sapphire Reserve card, which gives you the Priority Pass lounges, because it's duplicated with the Capital One card. I have decided to keep both of those cards for now, but that is an option in the future. I could downgrade that Chase card potentially. So that one, the sign-on bonus, is 75,000 points, and it requires you to also spend $4,000 in 3 months. So typically what I will do is when I'm trying to get these sign-on bonuses is I'm staggering the card. So I'm not trying to work on more than one initial bonus at a time so that I can meet the spend requirement without any issue. The American Express Gold Card is another card where you accumulate points at American Express and can redeem them for various things. This card is very new to me. I've just signed up for it, so we're going to see how it goes. It has a $250 annual fee. There's no travel credit offset. You do get $10 a month in Uber credit. It's Uber Eats and Uber Rides. So if you use Uber a lot, that could pay for basically half the fee right there, $120 a year. I don't use Uber that much. I use Lyft a lot. And actually on Chase, you get 10x points for Lyft purchases. So I tend to use that. I also have found, at least in my situation, it tends to be a little cheaper than Uber. But I will keep this in mind because I will attach the Amex Gold card to my Uber account going forward so I can utilize that $10 per month if I do Uber rides. This card gives you 4x points on supermarkets and restaurants. So this will now be my default card for groceries and restaurants to get 4x points. And this card, the sign-on bonus is 60,000 points. I actually got pushed some special. It's funny. I think I was listening to a podcast and it was talking about this card, and I know your phone listens to stuff. And then I pulled it up on my phone and all of a sudden it says, if you apply now, we'll give you 90,000 points. So I don't know. Somehow it worked. And again, I have not hit my spend requirement. I've just gotten the card. So we will see if these 90,000 points show up. But that's what it said I was going to get. And the spend requirement on the Amex Gold card is $6,000, but it's over 6 months instead of 3. So that's the one I'm currently working on. I also have some branded cards, and all of these are Chase-related cards. So again, it goes against your 524. I fly Southwest almost all the time, and I literally fly Southwest for free because I have accumulated enough points between the original bonus and just spending and being able to transfer points over from Chase that I literally never pay for my Southwest tickets. And that was the case in this upcoming trip that I'll go over. But the Chase Southwest Priority Card, they have 3 levels of cards. And the most expensive annual fee card is the one I have. It's the Priority Card, and it has a $149 annual fee. However, it gives you a $75 annual credit for Southwest purchases, which I will always utilize. So I may buy one one-way ticket, for instance, and use up that $75 credit. So it really brings my annual fee down to $74. I also get 3x points on my Southwest purchases. you get 25% off in-flight purchases by using that card. So anytime I'm buying a snack box or anything like that, I use that card. It's just automatically linked to my Southwest membership number. And the other interesting thing is, I don't know if you've ever flown Southwest, they have a very interesting boarding process. Now, I typically will buy the early bird, so it's usually an extra $25 each way, $35 sometimes, and they will check you in 36 hours in advance, and you will get priority boarding. The way the boarding works at Southwest is they board by group and number. So there's group A, 1 through 60, group B, 1 through 60, group C, 1 through 60. And then the family boarding gets done between A and B. So I always like to be in the A group. On Southwest, they do not have assigned seating. So you basically just get on the plane and select an available seat. So it's very good to have that A boarding group. And so I usually buy the early bird. And then sometimes I don't, because this card gives you four A 1 through 15 boarding credits. And the way it works is the A 1 through 15 spots are reserved for the like Uber Elite flyers, I think, or you can just buy it. And typically it'll cost you like $65 or $75. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just check in exactly 24 hours in advance and see what my boarding group number is. And if I don't like it, I'll just buy an A1 through 15 and use up one of my four free credits. Or I will just do the early bird because I fly so much. A lot of times I buy the early bird, but then four times a year, I just use those free A1 through 15 credits to get that A boarding group, actually A1 through 15 in that case. Sometimes they run promotions on that card, but the standard amount, which is the current amount I see, is 50,000 points and you have to spend $1,000 in 3 months. So that's a pretty easy spend requirement. And sometimes you'll see it as much as 80,000 or even 100,000. I think I got 100,000 when I got this, but I think they increased the spend requirement. I think it was like 3,000 in 3 months in order to get that 100,000 points. And that's what I've been working down over time. And then there's this whole companion pass. I won't get into that, but if you can get up to, I think it's 130,000 miles, you can get a companion to fly with you for free once you break that barrier for the remainder of the existing year plus the following year. And you can do this by pairing it up with a business card. And it, just Google Southwest companion pass card rewards and you'll see a whole bunch of articles on how to do that. I have not done that, but if I had a spouse, I certainly would consider doing that. The other card I have is the Chase United Explorer Mileage Plus card. That card has a $0 annual fee for the first year, but then $95 every year thereafter. It gives you 2x points on United purchases. But the reason I have this card is it gives me 2 annual passes to the United Lounge, which is not part of the Priority Pass Lounge system. And of course, you would have to be flying on United to use that pass. So I utilize those. It also gives you a free checked bag, which, as you may know, can be pretty expensive to pay for the checked bags if you're in economy. And then it also gives you priority boarding position. So I think it's group 2 is what you get with that. And again, I like to get on the plane early. I like to have room for my overhead bag because usually I'm not checking bags. But if I am, it's going to be free. But if I'm not, I want to have room in the overhead. So I'm one of those people that likes to get on the plane early. So for me, this card is worth it. The sign-on bonus right now is 50,000 points. You have to spend 3,000 in 3 months. So again, not too onerous, pretty easy to accomplish if you do like I do and charge everything and then pay everything off in full every month. Another card I recently got is the Chase World of Hyatt card, because I stay in Hyatts all the time. That's another place. I literally stay in Hyatts as anywhere I can, and I've yet to pay for a room in Hyatt. And the reason is because, again, it's a Chase transfer partner, so I can move points over from Chase over to my Hyatt account and utilize those. And because I was staying in Hyatt so much, I just looked into the card. I had room on my Chase 524 rule. I had no spends that I was trying to meet. So I said, well, let me just look at this card. And it gives you 30,000 points. You do have to spend $3,000 in 3 months. But again, it was not something that was going to be difficult for me to meet. And also it gave me, and I think this is just standard, for your first $30,000 of spend, it'll actually give you an extra 30,000 points. So I did just put some extra spending on there just to get some extra points, but that's how that works. And in all these cards, when you're meeting the spend, you are getting the points for those spend dollars. So if, for instance, on this card, you need to spend $3,000 in 3 months to get the 30,000, well, once you spend the 3,000, you'll get the 30,000 points. But because they're saying you get 2x points for every dollar spent in the first 6 months, and you spend that $3,000, you're actually going to get 6,000 additional points. So meeting that 3,000 spend, you're actually going to get 36,000 points in your account, 30 for the bonus and 6 for the 2x on the spend requirement of $3,000. This one does have a $95 annual fee. However, you get a free night per year in one of their category 1 through 4 hotels, which typically, if you try to focus on staying at a 4 hotel with your free night, that may be as much as a $200 a night room or even $300 a night room for your $95 annual fee. So I just use up the free night credit, and effectively, in my mind, it's paying the $95. And you also get 9x points on the Hyatt purchases. So if I do have to buy a room at Hyatt, I'm going to get 9x points. It will also give you their first level of status at the hotel, which is Discoverist. I think you get 2 free water bottles, big deal. But you also get free upgrades if they're available. Yeah, so that's always nice. And a lot of times I have gotten upgrades. And the other cool thing about using points at Hyatt is that if you book with points at Hyatt, and I presume this might be the case for other hotels, but I know it's for this one, and there's some incidental fee, like a parking fee or a resort fee, they're waived. So as long as you book with points, they waive all of those fees. So that can be really beneficial at like a resort type hotel. And then the other thing is, in the case with most points, whether it's airline points or hotel points, if you're booking, you reserve it, you have to have the points, but you book the room with the points. They do come out of your account when you book it, but you can usually cancel up to 48 hours in advance and they'll just deposit those points right back in your account. So it's a really nice, flexible way to travel. So let's talk about my upcoming trip. Now, I am not an Uber rewards user, so I am using rewards on a fairly simple basis, and I probably could have gotten this cost down to zero if I really focused on it, but I just did some very simple things. So I am taking a Royal Caribbean cruise from Miami. I need to fly there, so I'll be flying in and out of Denver. I have 2 cruises booked that are considered what they say side to side, which basically means I am getting off of one ship and walking across the pier to the other ship and boarding it the same day. So they're 2 separate cruises. So the first one is a 5-day, 4-night cruise. It stops at their Coco Cay private island and the Bahamas. What I found out was if I booked it through Costco Travel, it's the same price as if I booked it on Royal Caribbean, but I will get a Costco gift card after I complete my trip. So for this first portion of the cruise, this 5-day, 4-night cruise, my cost was $1,144. Now that's double occupancy. So even though I'm single and am in the room by myself, I have to pay for the room as if 2 people were there. So if I was sharing it with somebody, it would effectively be half that amount per person. But I paid $1,144. At the end of my trip, I will get a $70 Costco gift card mailed to me. So my total cost was $1,074. So what is that? $537 per person for that cruise number one. Cruise number two, again, getting off of that ship, walking across the pier, and getting onto another ship. This is a 10-day, 9-night cruise stopping at the Dominican Republic, St. Thomas, Antigua, Grenada, and St. Kitts and Nevis. And also for the first cruise, I have a balcony room. So I got a really nice room for that little over $1,000. On this second cruise, I have an interior room, and it's interesting. It's an interior room with what they call virtual balconies. So we'll see what that's all about. Maybe I'll do a money moment in front of the virtual balcony, but basically it's supposed to be a big TV screen on the wall that gives you the option of different live video feeds, I think. So anyway, we'll see what that's all about, but I figured I'd give it a shot, see what it is. That cruise, and again, I'm paying for two people, even though it's just me, so this would be half the amount if I shared it with somebody else, but I am paying $1,884, and I'm getting a $140 Costco gift card back after the end of the trip, and so my net is $1,744. So effectively, I'm paying, what is that, $2,850, something in that neighborhood, net for these two cruises. And that is for effectively two people, even though it's just me. So you could divide it by two if it was two people going. So not too bad. So what did I do? I charged it on my Chase Sapphire Reserve card. Why? Because I will get 3x points because this is a travel-related item. I'm effectively getting 9,084 points on my Chase Sapphire Reserve for paying for it with that card. Now, so that's the cruise, and I'll tell you how I effectively use those points in a moment. So how am I getting there? Well, I'm flying on Southwest, Denver to Miami direct, and it cost 12,895 Southwest points. I had them at Southwest, but if I didn't, what I would have done is looked up the flight, seen how many points it would cost, then go into my Chase portal, transfer the points over to Southwest, and then redeem the points at Southwest. And it is literally instantaneous. Once you connect your Chase card, Ultimate Rewards portal to your membership number at Southwest, once they're linked up, you just say transfer to partner, and it literally transfers instantaneously, and then you book it on Southwest. So it cost me 12,895 points, but I got 9,084 points back from paying for the cruise with my Chase Sapphire Reserve. So effectively, it was a net of, what, 3,800 points about. So that was a good deal. And then I'm flying out of Denver. So what am I going to do? Well, I am going to go to the Capital One Lounge in Denver before I depart on my flight. So that's certainly something I will do. And that's because I have the Capital One Venture X card. I basically just walk to the lounge. I show them my card. They scan it. Oh, they don't charge it. It's just to prove that you have the card. And they will also check your boarding pass. So you do have to be flying out. You have to be in transit in order to go into the lounge. One thing I did learn when I went to the lounge in Dallas-Fort Worth, I just wanted to check it out. And so I was flying into Dallas-Fort Worth and I was waiting for a friend and we were going to share an Uber. So I said, well, let me just go over to the lounge and check it out. And when I went there and showed him my VentureX card, no problem. They asked for my boarding pass and I showed it to him and they said, you have just arrived. You're not departing. So you can't actually come into the lounge. Of course, they let me check it out because I just wanted to see it. But that is a rule. You actually have to have a boarding pass for a departure. So that is interesting to note. Typically, when you're cruising, you probably don't want to take the risk of flying on the same day that the cruise departs because that could be a risk if there's a delay in your flight. So I'm flying the day before. And what am I doing? I'm staying at a Hyatt in Miami near the airport, a Hyatt Place. And it is costing me 8,000 Hyatt points, which I have at Hyatt because of my Hyatt card. But if I didn't, I could transfer them to Hyatt from my Chase Sapphire Reserve card. Same thing, instantaneous point transfer. I would just log in, check to see what the room would cost in points, see that it's available, 8,000 points. I don't have it in my account. I go to Chase Ultimate Rewards. I transfer the points over to Hyatt and I redeem them for my room. So that's what I would do. So how am I getting back from Miami? Well, interestingly, I decided to use my Capital One travel credit. If you recall, you get a $300 annual travel credit on your Capital One Venture X card. I had not utilized it yet. Actually, the card had just renewed for the year, so it was freshly available. And so what you have to do is you have to book it through their travel portal. So I looked on their travel portal, which is just like an Expedia, Travelocity kind of portal. And you just say, I want to fly from Miami to Denver. I want to fly on this day. What kind of flights are available? And they had an American Airlines first class ticket for $617. And I said, ooh, that's great. I like flying first class. $617 isn't bad. And I'll just use $300 of my travel credit to make it a $317 ticket. So that's what I did. So effectively, I am going on a 2-week cruise. I've paid for a lot of it with points, and I've gotten a first class ticket. I'm going to be at the lounge, the Capital One lounge, and I've gotten some nice 3x points for the amount that I did pay for the Royal Caribbean cruise. So anyway, I thought that would be kind of fun to go through how I did that. I need to get better at redeeming points for flights, internationally in particular. So I'm going to Bali again this year. If you're watching me on YouTube, I've got my really cool shirt that I got in Bali last year. It's a fun festive shirt, I guess you would say. Last year, I flew on Singapore Air, which is a partner of both Chase and Capital One. So potentially, I could have bought my ticket using points. I chose to buy it in cash because I am getting a really cool premium economy seat on my flight, and the price seemed pretty reasonable based on what I thought I was going to have to pay in points. But again, I could probably get a lot better at this, and that is something I need to work on more, is really utilizing points for even more benefits. So right now, I'm basically transferring it to Hyatt or United or Southwest, and that's how I've been using it mostly. I could redeem them for cash, but that's not usually the best use of points. If you have the Chase Sapphire Reserve card, if you book through the travel portal, you get a benefit of getting an extra 50% bonus on any points you redeem through their portal. So that could be beneficial. I do need to get better at utilizing points. So that's my goal. I need to find a Travel Rewards 201 to learn about that. And it's funny because Brad, who is the host of Choose FI and the one that is responsible for the Travel Rewards 101 program for the most part, is going to Bali this year as well. And he said he is going to figure out how to use his points to fly to Bali. So I'm very interested to see what he comes up with and pick his brain, and maybe I'll get better at using points flying internationally. And so that is something I definitely need to up my game with. Now, there are also cashback cards that I do have in my wallet. And previously, I used to use cashback cards before I started learning more about travel rewards and how to use those points for more benefit. But it is an easy button. So if you really don't want to get involved in figuring out how to accumulate points, redeeming points for their best value, we're going on a cruise this summer, and I was telling my mom about these travel rewards that I do, and she doesn't really have any travel cards, and I was telling her, you might benefit from just getting a card. You'll hit the bonus with the cost of the cruise, and then just use those bonus points to reduce the value of the bill you need to pay for that cruise. And so she looked into it, and she got the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, which has a lower annual fee. It's $95 and doesn't have a lot of the other perks, but she doesn't care about that because she doesn't travel that much. So I think she was getting, I want to say it was a 60,000 point bonus for a 3,000 spend. And don't quote me on that. You'd have to look it up just to be sure. But whatever the spend requirement was, the cost of the cruise was going to be more than that. She got the card and will pay for the cruise with that, get the bonus points, and then use it to just offset the bill because you can redeem points for cash, basically, which isn't the best use. But for her, that works fine. So that's what she's going to do. Now, referrals. I do want to talk about that. That is another benefit of having these travel cards. The biggest benefit is the sign-on bonuses. The next benefits are obviously any of the purchases, especially if you're getting multiples of, you know, times points for whatever specific purchase that that card promotes. And then there's referral credits. Typically, you are able to refer friends and family to these cards if they don't already have one of these cards. And you, as the referrer, will get a bonus for making that referral. And in many cases, it's anywhere from 10,000 points to, as I've seen, as much as 20,000, even 25,000 points on certain business cards, just for making a referral to a friend or family member. And so if you're getting any of these cards, I highly recommend that you talk to friends that may have them. If not, feel free to send me an email and I'll send you a referral code. But that is another way, once you have these cards, and again, only refer to them to friends if they're going to use them appropriately. They're going to pay them off in full. Make sure you tell them that caveat and don't try to force a card on somebody that isn't going to use it wisely. But if they do have the ability to use it wisely and benefit from it, certainly give them the referral once you have the card. And again, like I said, if you don't have the card yourself and you have a friend or family member that does, ask them to give you a referral. And if you don't have a friend or family member that has the referral, certainly shoot me an email and I will be happy to send you a referral. But that is a way to gather points on your card as well. Going back to the cash back, so these were the cards that I used to keep and use a lot if there weren't rewards cards that I was utilizing, because I was not utilizing the rewards cards previously as much as I do now. But I will mention these cashback cards because some people, they just find them to be easier. They'd rather just say, I'd rather have one card, just get X percent cash back and call it a day and not even have to think about all this stuff. So the ones that I have found beneficial, the one that I typically had used is the Citi Double Cash Card. You get 2% cash back on everything. You get 1% back when you make a purchase and 1% back when you pay it off. So if you're paying it off every month, obviously you're going to get the 2% back immediately every month. And that's what I do. There is no annual fee on that card. And the sign-on bonuses for cashback cards are usually not as good. So in this card, for instance, right now, they're giving you a $200 bonus if you sign up for it, if you spend $1,500 in 6 months. So pretty easy to do, but you know, the cashback, it's nice, but it's not huge. The other card I was using up until I got the American Express Gold Card, which I literally have just received, is the American Express Blue Cash Preferred Card. That card has a 0% annual fee in the first year, but then a $95 fee after that. What's interesting about this card is it gives you 6% cash back on supermarkets, so groceries, but only up to $6,000 per year, but that's within what I normally spend in a year anyway. So I was basically getting 6% back on my groceries on this card, and it made it worthwhile to pay that $95 annual fee for the 6% cash back, because there's a no annual fee version of this card that I'll mention in a moment, but it only gives you half as much back on groceries. And for me, I mathed it out and the $95 fee was worth it for the 6% cash back on groceries. It also gives you 6% cash back on streaming. So I basically just put all my streaming services automatically on there and I get 6% cash back. It gives you 3% cash back on gas stations, but that does not include stations that are affiliated with, let's say, Walmart or a supermarket chain, for example. So like standalone gas stations. And then if you have a Disney bundle, they'll give you a $7 monthly credit if it's charged on that card. I don't have that. I used to, but I don't anymore. And it was just automatically crediting me $7 anytime it saw the Disney charge on my card each month. That card has a sign-up bonus of $250, and you need to spend $3,000 in the first 6 months. Now, the free version of this card is called the American Express Blue Cash Everyday Card, and that card has no annual fee. It only gives you 3% back on supermarkets, also up to $6,000 per year. It gives you 3% back on online purchases, which is interesting, versus streaming. And that is also limited to 6,000 per year. And it also does give you 3% cash back on gas stations up to $6,000 per year. So what I'm thinking is I am going to use my American Express Gold card now for my groceries. It's going to give me 4x points, but I think if I'm use my points wisely, it's going to be worth at least the 6% cash back I would have gotten if I use my American Express Blue Cash Preferred. I think I'm going to downgrade my Blue Cash Preferred to Blue Cash every day so I can avoid the annual fee. And then I'll just use it for gas stations because it still gives me the same 3% cash back. And I don't really charge that much in gas, but it's a way to just keep that card because I've had that card for, I think that's my oldest card. So I don't want to cancel my oldest card for my FICO score points. And so I think I'll just downgrade that to a no annual fee cash every day and just stick it in my wallet and say, just use it for gas stations and any online purchases. I do have one other card. I do have Amazon Prime. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can get the Amazon Prime Visa card. And it has no annual fee, but you do have to be a Prime member. But it gives you 5% cash back on all of your Amazon purchases, Amazon Fresh, and Whole Foods as well. Now, I don't have a Whole Foods near me. If I did, it would be great, and I would be able to use it there. But I just basically have set that card up as my default card on my Amazon account, and I get 5% cash back on all my Amazon purchases. And I do enjoy the Prime membership, so I'm okay with that. And effectively for me, because I live in the middle of nowhere, my store is typically Amazon. And so for me, it's very beneficial. And effectively, my Amazon purchases 5% cash back more than offsets the Prime membership cost each year. And as that continues to escalate, I'll decide whether I want to keep Prime. But for right now, I am. And that's how I utilize that. I did want to mention the Amex Blue Cash Every Day, just in case you were interested in signing up for that one. It does have a $200 sign-on bonus for $2,000 spend in 6 months. So if that's something you wanted to look into, that's the bonus on that one. Whew, that's a long-winded podcast. I thought this was going to be a short one. It ended up being longer than I expected. But I did want to give you kind of insight into at least how I use rewards cards. And again, caveat, caveat, caveat. You have to pay these cards off in full every month. Otherwise, this does not make any sense. Rewards points are going to in no way offset the interest you would pay on carrying balances from month to month. But if you do use your credit cards like a debit card, like I do, track them really carefully. Don't spend any more than you would normally spend. You don't want to be spending money so that you can get the bonus just to spend the money. This is all in conjunction with my normal spending habits, but I'm benefiting from rewards and cashback in some cases by just putting my normal spend on cards, keeping track of it religiously with a spreadsheet. I know exactly where everything's going. I know exactly how much is going to come out of my checking account every month to pay these cards off in full. So there's no concern on my part about that. I am very carefully thinking about if the annual fees are worth it. And if they are, the value I'm getting, and I will constantly review these and decide, do I want to change any of these cards going forward? You can downgrade a card. After a certain time has transpired, you can get those bonuses again. So in the Chase Sapphire cards, you have to wait 48 months until you can get a bonus again. Many of the other cards are 24 months. So you'd basically either have to cancel the card or downgrade it to a different card, wait a period of time. I've not done this, but I've been told 30 days is ample time to wait and then reapply for the card. You can't just say, change my card back to this card. You actually have to reapply and then potentially you can get the bonus again. So there are plenty of people that do that. I've yet to do that. So again, I don't take advantage of everything to the fullest extent. But I just wanted to give you insight into how I use cards. An example on my recent trip, And I know I have at least 10 Hyatt reservations for the rest of this year, and some of them are really cool. Last year in Bali, we stayed at one of their high-end brands called Alila. So it was Alila Ubud. This place was really nice, and it only cost us 5,000 points a night. Oh, no, that one was 6,000 points a night. But still, I think the rooms, I want to say they were like $300 or $400 a night, and we only paid 6,000 points. And I was sharing a room with somebody, so we were effectively each paying 3,000 points. It was such a deal. And then the whole group went down to the Grand Hyatt Bali, which is on the ocean. It was a really nice resort. And those rooms were 5,000 points a night. This year, when I go back to Bali, I'm staying in that Grand Hyatt as well, just on the night before I leave. I'm also going to Singapore, and I'm staying in another one of their high-end properties. It's called the Andaz Singapore, A-N-D-A-Z, I think it is. Now, that one is super expensive, so it's costing me 20,000 points a night. And I decided to go ahead and make the reservation. I can always change my mind, but it looks like a really nice hotel. And Singapore can be very pricey when it comes to hotel. And it's in a super location, so I'm allowing myself to splurge a little bit on that one. And then I'm going to be in Athens on the cruise with my mother and my daughter. And we're staying at the Hyatt Regency in Athens. And there's like a rooftop pool that looks over the Acropolis. I think that one we're paying, I want to say it's either 8 or 12,000 points a night. And then we're staying at another high-end hotel on the island of Murano, which is the island next to Venice. And I forget what the brand is, but it's one of these high-end brands that Hyatt has. And I think we're paying 15,000 points a night. I think it's the Hyatt Centric Murano. I think that's what it's called. That's just off the top of my head, so don't hold me to it. But it looks really nice. And it has its own private boat that takes you to and from Venice. So, man, it's just like, if you can gather some of these points, you can really live it up large without having to pay for this out of pocket. And so I have found that the Hyatt transfer has been one of my best uses. And like I said, I've never paid for a Hyatt room, but even though I'm booking my Hyatt rooms with points, they still count towards their status levels. So they're giving me night credits, even though I'm booking with points to get up in their status categories. Like I said, my World of Hyatt card gives me Discover status automatically. But the next level, I think I get credit at one of the resort properties. There are some other things that will benefit me that I think I'll hit this year with the travel I'm doing. We'll see how that works out and see if that's worth it. But hey, it's free. I'll take it. I know this was a long-winded episode, but I wanted to give you some insight into how I use travel rewards points for the travel that I do. I do travel a lot. So for me, it's worth the hassle and the effort. And for others, maybe it's too much and maybe just a cashback card makes more sense. And again, make sure you get those referrals from friends and family for these cards if you're interested. And if not, feel free to send me an email and I'd be happy to send you my referral because I consider all of you friends. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.